again this morning in the fourth chapter of the book of Malachi. Malachi was the last prophet until John. In verse 2, he said, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of a stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments." We have here a command unto the people of Israel. They're to look unto the law, remember it, because it is a picture of God himself. It's a perfect image of him. So they're to look unto that, and we're not going to have any more prophets in this era. This is it. That's the reason you need to look unto the law and continue in it and remember it as you were commanded to do at Horeb when it was first given. You're to look unto the law because it is your window unto saving grace. Now, things hadn't changed much. And these people of Malachi's day, they didn't understand. They had lost all perception of what was, like we have today for the most part. We do not have any truth. Truth has gone by the wayside. That's what had happened to the Israelite people. The longer that time went on, the more that they had perverted and not looked unto the perfect law of liberty, but unto their own laws for the most part, because they had changed them and perverted them and went to worship in a whole different way. They'd even gone so far as to offer up their children as sacrifices. That's how far they had come from it. I come here today because I keep hearing more and more in our land of a Judeo-Christian thing. Now, simply put, what that means is it doesn't matter what denomination you are, what belief you have, what you believe in, whether it be God or anything else, if it has some moral character to it, it's good. Several of our presidents have ordered that we'd have National Prayer Day, or National this or that or the other, to make our country whole. But it never does happen because of the prayer, the National Prayer Day, who's saying all the prayers? God doesn't hear anybody but his own people. Unless it be a prayer for judgment that's coming, it'd be heard. But everything else is foreign to God Almighty. He doesn't have any respect for any of man's works. None whatsoever. But they had come so far as to forget all these things. Just one, two. That's it, Joel? All of them? Okay. Back over in Psalms, 110th chapter. It said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast to do of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at the right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Now these things were quite plain. There's coming a Savior. He's going to be after the order of Melchizedek. He's not going to be of any earthly tribe. He's going to come and save his people. Now, the Israelite people had been taught this over and over and over, all the way from the book of Genesis all the way through. The giving of the law in the building of the tabernacle, in the building of the temple, in all the things that were used to worship, all the instruments. They had been taught these things over and over and over. There's one coming. And then we get to the book of Malachi, the end of the prophets. The end until John would come. The last prophesy. Men are still trying to prophesy some today. Over and over and over. But the prophets are gone. John actually was the last one. I've come, though, to usher in a new period of time, a new time where the Lord Jesus truly will reign. Now, he's reigned all the way from Melchizedek, from the days of him, which was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was one not born of any earthly tribe. He was of the tribe of Judah. Not of any Israelite tribe that was in the lineage of the priest. But all, he was the priest. The high priest. But they had forgotten all these things. But it's the reason that Malachi warned them, look, you look unto that law. Because it is a perfect image of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the coming of Melchizedek, the King of kings and the Lord of lords who will reign upon the throne until all his enemies are put under his footstool, put down, held down. Over then in the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews, try to put a little continuity in this. We see the church has got the same problem. That's the reason I relate it to our day today about the Judeo-Christian idea. Although in our day, the sacrifices that they offer, the people of our day, are so minimal. that there isn't any comparison to it and the Israelite people. Matter of fact, today the only sacrifice you got to do is say, well, I just believe in Jesus. Or I believe in whoever. And that's good enough. If you be of moral character, then you're all right. That makes you worthy of being in the tribe of Judah. Under the reign of the high priest Melchizedek. And the Apostle Paul had a problem with the church here. And that's what he's trying to tell them. Listen, they hung on to that old law as hard and fast as they could. They couldn't turn loose even unto the murder of Peter, the stoning to death of him. That's what he is preaching to them. Y'all have held on to this thing. We're in a new day. In our day, the Savior has come, the one that you have crucified. And you're still hanging on to your old worldly activity and trying to offer up little old sacrifices that are not acceptable. But one has come that offered up a sacrifice that is acceptable. The end of both covenants is Christ. That's when it talks about looking unto the end. Looking unto the end is Christ. Because all things are fulfilled in Him. The high priest. In the fifth chapter of Hebrews, I don't know where to start and stop here now, too. In the ninth verse, I guess, in being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. This Melchizedek, who come after the order of the Melchizedek originally that come unto Abraham, that Abraham offered up tithes to. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now keep in mind here through all of this is Apostle Paul trying to tell these Hebrew people that listen, that old law that was is done away with, and we have a new covenant in Christ Jesus, which in it is life. Quit trying to hold on to that Judeo idea. Judaism. Especially of those people that were teaching the circumcision again. Paul said of circumcision availeth nothing, nor does uncircumcision. Neither one. Because the end of all of that is Christ Jesus, the perfect sacrifice has come. He said, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. That's what the problem is in our churches today. They don't hear. They don't hear this, that you're not worthy, that you're not able, that you cannot come. It must be on the terms of repentance and calling upon the name of the Lord. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you. Again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. We want to go all the way back and take a look at this all the way forward, because this is what is being taught. Look at the law. Keep it. Work at it. May it be a reminder unto you every day of the perfection. That's where we begin in this ninth verse, by the way. Of that perfection that is in Christ Jesus, which be the principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not the strong meat. You can't take it. You can't take it. Because you're trying to apply something that we don't have any need of today. We need to get rid of all that idea. You know, morality is very good. But true Christianity is far better. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's where we started off way back in the garden when they was trying to accomplish that. Who's going to know it? Those that are instructed out of the word of God. And where is that word? Well, it began back there with covenants. First in Genesis. Then with Moses. Followed all the way through. They had a worldly priest, but they also had one other that wasn't of the worldly tribe. It was of the tribe of God. Whole different thing. I think the church in our day has completely lost that principle too, that our high priest can't be reached like they want to reach him. He's an intercessor for those people that are his, that he has bought and paid for. Then he, being the high priest, he offers up intercession for them unto the Father. Right. And he reigns as high priest. They say now, well, just, you know, apply your faith and believe in Jesus. And then one day when you, you know, have drank enough of this milk and all that kind of stuff and get where you're not a babe, then you move on up to say, well, he's the Lord. But he's more than that. He's our high priest. This is important. Being the high priest is very important. Because he maketh intercession. And the picture that we see here is that these people want to lay all this aside and go back to circumcision and all that stuff of the flesh, doing of the flesh. And be having the same idea that people are promoting today, just be a good moral person and everything will be all right. We all just trying to get to the same place. But it must, in all that, must contain the truth of the reign of Jesus Christ. Man, this stuff is horrible. What they're trying to put them people in. And this is what is the horrible part about it. Is that they offer up this garbage and people fall for it because they don't search the scripture. They just fall for it hook, line, and sinker. And they say, I'm good because I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. And their priest will tell them, go home and don't ever doubt it. You hold on to that. And they're making people twofold more the child of the devil than they were in the beginning. It's an awful thing. Paul has been talking about the fear of the Lord. They don't have any fear at all. They got a lot of hope. They're resting on their hope. Say, well, I hope so. Well, better know the law. There isn't any hope outside of Jesus Christ. And he's seen through all the oracles that's been handed down all through the years. But when Christ has come, these things change. We don't need any of this anymore. We don't need any picture of him anymore. We don't need any type anymore. We have the true thing. He has come. And we know that not only in our heart, but we know it historically that he has been here and walked upon this earth and taught his people and called out some. And they followed him. If some of them following me, it says he looked around and they were following him. Yeah. But some of this garbage is eating us up. Now, I'm not talking about just worldly churches here. I'm talking about the true church. I believe there's some hope nowadays that we may see some reformation from those ideas that have been being set forth all these years. It has gone from one extreme in my lifetime to the other. It just, you know, all these things are being taught, but just kind of silently, if you will. The sovereignty of God, the way of salvation, not being in oneself, and all those things. And then it just went all the way to, you couldn't hardly find a true Christian anywhere. Matter of fact, when I first come to believe some of these things that we believe today, I thought I was the only one. And lo and behold, Paul is at San Antone. And we, Paul and I don't talk a whole bunch, you know. Not that we're just kind of the people that don't have much to say, you know. I don't believe in just getting on the telephone and staying an hour visiting much, you know. But anyway, neither one of us knew what the other was thinking. And he's thinking about the same thing. He's out there and I'm here. And he come down here. And we had this talk. What about this? What do you think about this? You know? We're both in trouble over it now. But what about it? Do you see these things kind of like I'm seeing them? Yeah. Well, there's some renewal in it always. And that's good. But we're still a long ways, even in our churches, I'm afraid. Even in the true churches, the ones that are trying to teach the gospel, they've got a lot of stuff that, and a whole lot of it that has to do with the second coming of Christ and all that kind of stuff, and thousand-year millennial reigns and this stuff. And we want to get off in that and try to meddle with those things when we have much plainer, I'm talking about, a more sure word of prophecy today in this book that is introduced unto the church in its fullness all the way to the end. And we have that in our day, and we can see it more plainly than ever before because the Word is being opened up more and more. It's a good thing that the pendulum is kind of swinging back the other way. Now, over in the 7th chapter, he said, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." Well, he just come out of nowhere. We don't know where he come from. And we do too. He is sent as an angel of God. Gonna talk to Abraham. What's he gonna tell him? This is the promise. I'm gonna give you a land. I'm gonna save people that's gonna inherit it. And we're gonna have a king that's gonna rule over it. And this king is also gonna be high priest that's gonna make intercession for his people. And he blessed Abraham, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation king of righteousness. That's who this is. And after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We don't have any argument with him. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Priest over the priestly tribe. Are we not all made priests and kings? And our Lord reigns, Melchizedek, always offering up for us the sacrifice unto the Father that he himself had given. And always offering up intercession for the people. Lord, keep my people. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. He's much more than just the priest. You know, I get so, it's a sad thing, but it's kind of amusing to it. Old Pope run around with all his flowing gowns, and he's got all these understudies, and they're running around calling themselves priests. Man, how ridiculous. How sad, really. We don't need any earthly priest. Let me tell you, get rid of that. Get rid of it. They're corrupt. They're the very heart of corruption. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood. Now, this is a whole other priesthood, one of Levi, but we've got one that's far superior to that. Have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he, whose descent is not counted from them, receiveth tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. This priesthood can't even be compared to the one of Levi. Not at all. There is a type in the tribe of Levi. We see in the tribe of Levi the coming of the high priest that was born after the order of Melchizedek. One that didn't have any beginning or any ending. One that had life. It's blessed for the better. And here, men that die receive tithes. But there, he receiveth them, of whom it is written that he liveth forever. Not like the earthly priests, they all die. And as I may say so, Levi also, who received the tithes, paid tithes to Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. He was before time. All the way before time, even. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after order of Melchizedek and not be called after order of Aaron? We got to have a different one. That one after the order of Aaron is it's got all kind of defects. It's not of the totally of truth. It's void of a lot of things that's needful for a Savior to have. He must be perfect. Perfection. He said, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, for of which no man gave attendance at the altar. He couldn't offer it up. How was that? Christ himself was offered upon the altar. No man gave attendance to that. Do you know that they all left? Turn the backs and left. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Moses never did mention this. He did tell them about Levi. He did tell them here is the priestly tribe, and it's a type of this Melchizedek that's bringing life. He said, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life forever. No beginning and no ending. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is barely a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereon. It couldn't save not one soul. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Now, this is a whole different hope than what I was talking about a while ago, people hope for. This hope is a surety because it has come and it has bore upon our minds and our souls that this is Melchizedek, who is our high priest. It's a better by the which we draw nigh unto God. By that. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Oh my goodness. The earthly priests, they weren't made by an oath. God swore by himself, I'm sending you a Savior. I'm sending you a high priest. Now here's the problem. Hang on to the truth. Don't let it go as the Israelite people let it go and they didn't even know when Jesus got here. They had completely lost every concept of righteousness and holiness and turned to lawlessness. And we have pretty much done that in our day also because we don't hold on to these things of truth. Search the Scripture. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath. By him that said unto him, the Lord swear, and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And God Almighty himself swore it. And this is it. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests. I'm talking about the tribe of Levi. Because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, they every one of them died off. Not one. Not one was left. But we have one that did. He died, but he picked that life up again. And in him is life. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And we have the surety of it. You know where it's at? If a man be of God, it's in his heart. This is my God. This is my high priest. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate. What? Went out of the camp, didn't he? Separate from sinners and made higher than heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins. Oh no. And then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself one sacrifice sufficient, well-pleasing to the Father. The Father had satisfaction in this sacrifice. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which he sware by himself, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated for evermore. We could go a little further, but I think you get the picture of this. We need to hold on to these things and not turn them loose. But don't worry about just those little moral things. All that, the morality of man will be taken care of in the saving of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't teach morality unto salvation. It won't work. And not just any religion is sufficient. It must be born of the truth. So as a church, that's what we need to hold on to, the truth, which is in Christ Jesus.